is up, everybody? Welcome to the Kickback, Welcome Back Pod Edition. All right, start a podcast this time. With me, one half of the host, Gavin. Pat will join us from time to time here. Not really his scene. But don't worry, I got another friend of the show, friend of the program, from the radio show, Dom. What's up, Dom? How you doing?
Oh, Gavin, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Episode one of the Kickback Podcast, baby. Now, for those who don't know, I just want to give a real quick introduction. Dom, if that's okay with you, I just want to give a real quick introduction of what this podcast is. For those who don't know, I do a radio show, which actually, you'll be there tomorrow, Dom.
I will be.
I need one of those. tomorrow is my radio show, me and Pat's radio show of the Kickback. Make sure you guys check us out 12 to 2 on WCUR 91.7 FM. If I didn't say it right, oh well, but that's where you can find us at. but the podcast here is a little bit different from the radio show. It's still the same format. We're going to be talking sports here. Still, it's going to be comedic and informative, talking sports, mostly, that's terrible. But the best part about this, Dom, right, it's fucking unfiltered. Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's going to be a good time. But real quick, I just want to give myself a quick introduction of who I am. My name is Gavin. I am the host of this program. I am one half of the radio show, The Kickback, like I said earlier. I am a senior at Westchester University. The gentleman sitting across my screen, you go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Yeah, sure. So for those that don't know me, I'm Dom. I'm a friend of the program. By day, I am currently a second and final year graduate assistant at Westchester University in the Compass program under Dr. Tammy James, who's been an impactful mentor of mine. The old saying is by day, by night. I guess by night in this instance is outside of Westchester University. Outside of Westchester University, I am the director of player analytics for the Maxwell Football Club and the National College Football Awards Association. The Maxwell Football Club is the oldest college football awards association. I've been in this role for a few months now. Love it. Loved talking sports. My background, which you guys will learn throughout the course of this podcast, is on the operations side of things and the coaching side of things. So I've dabbled in not just football. I'm in football, but I grew up in basketball. I had a very brief stint with our baseball program here, so I'm excited to kind of come on here with you, Gavin, and let my hair down, so to speak, and talk sports and have some fun.
Dude, they get to hear how we really talk. We talk sports. Now, I want to say viewer description is advised for those. This is an unfiltered podcast. So for my normal listeners who listen to me and support me, first of all, I do appreciate all the love and support. But now you guys are going to see the difference. It's going to be more like the same thing. I get to say how I want to say it. You know what I mean? Well, I'm gonna say what I want to say. So I do want to apologize in advance for those who listen to me and are expecting this to be clean. It's not going to. For those who want to listen to a cleaner version of me, tomorrow, 12-2. And there's some old things I did back in the day called More Than Philly Sports Talk Show that you can catch me out on. But I promise you're going to enjoy this shit. Now, without further ado, Dom, let's talk about it. Let's get right into the program. The Eagles are Super Bowl fucking champions, and they went down Broad Street with and we will be representing some little jokes here and there. They went down Broad Street, right? What a year this team had. And if you want to open it as a whole, just take it and just reflecting back on the NFL season is what we're doing at the moment. First of all, Don, what a year. What a year for the NFL alone. They tried some new shit out with the whole kickoff. I'll be honest, I'm not really sold on it. I don't understand how one simple fucking play can reduce the amount of concussions. Let's be honest, you can't make a dangerous sport safe. And if you don't want to be in a dangerous sport, don't Don't play. Play flag football. Play something else. I'm not disrespecting no flag football player, but I'm just telling you what it is, all right? If you can't handle the hit to the truth, don't fucking do it. Don't fucking do it. Simple. But I will say this, though. After watching some of the things, it wasn't bad. Like, Dom, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, right? Like, just seeing, like, the whole kickoff thing and everything.
So, I personally, and this is the coach in me speaking, I like the new kickoff from a blocking stand, from a schematic standpoint, because it's forcing special teams coaches to start to think like offensive line coaches from the kickoff return side of things. You know, you're seeing a lot of teams now scheming up their kick return plans no different than, you know, gap runs. So from that element and that aspect, I like it. However, I don't see the huge difference that it makes.
To my point. So like I don't get like I okay, hold on, because I yeah, we're coming off really insensitive to the players like you right now. Me at least. I understand what you're trying to do. We get the idea. I just don't understand how one play makes like Dom. One play does not make a fucking difference to me.
It's very difficult. You know, look, this is a violent sport in its nature. It's very difficult to make this a safe game. It's very difficult to make this a safe game. That's the bottom line.
But at the same time, too, hats off to everybody that rolled with the punches and figured it out. You know what I mean? Did it look dumb at first? I did think so, and I still believe it does look
dumb. It definitely
dumb.
Looked weird at first.
It definitely looked weird. But I will say, though, you are forcing teams to have to kick the ball back now.
Yep.
Like, you actually have to do that, to your point about scheduling blocking schemes and everything. I don't think we saw as many returns this year as we did in prior years, but also too, kickers nowadays are so, I remember Pat McAfee saying this, kickers nowadays are so damn good that they find a way to always kick it out in the back of the end zone. I mean, Dom, the coaching, you know, just like they practice special teams even more now. Even before the rule, like kickers before, yeah, they used to run around, kick field goals, practice. No, they're generally trying to work on spots and ball placement.
Yeah,
ball
it's
placement.
Very much like being a golfer. It's very much like being a golfer.
Much, yeah. Just without, but the only thing is your leg is the club. Yeah. So Dom, let's talk about the season as a whole. Outside the Eagles, Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. To everyone that doesn't like the media, to the media who doesn't like the team, when you talk about them, you gotta call them champs. All right, you gotta call them champs. Anything else? I mean, Pat Mahomes three-peat. That's cool. I kind of felt like, and I said on the radio show, Dom, I was like, I don't know. I think personally, the vibe going into the Super Bowl game, I just know that there wasn't the mindset between the two teams are just completely different. But I want to open it to you. I'll ask you in a different way instead, because everybody knows it's fresh with the Super Bowl. A lot of injuries happened this past year, this season. A lot of stars, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb went down. You know, so and so, so many to even name. Then you have, you know, the weirdness of how the Giants mistreated Daniel Jones and then how they just let Saquon Walker there. So, and then the emergence of some of the rookies, Jaden Daniels looked better than Caleb Williams and Bo Nix looked great. So I would ask you, this whole entire football season, one, what was your just a thought, just as the whole thing.
I think you summed it up pretty well, Gavin, where the one word to describe it is parity. You know, there was a lot of good teams. There were a lot of good teams. There were good teams that didn't make the playoffs as well. But, you know, I think the best way to sum it up is parity. You had a lot of good teams this year. There wasn't one dominant team. You know, I know the Super Bowl was a complete blowout. You know, but I don't think that,
that's a great point. Sorry to cut you off, but don't let the score fool you. It was not what it was. BTA. It was BTA.
No, the Super Bowl. Listen, the Super Bowl is a complete blowout. But you know that I don't think, you know, that was necessarily a representation of this NFL season or, you know, more specifically the postseason. You know, you look at the Eagles run, you know, that Green Bay game, you know, look, Green Bay was very banged up. I give Matt LaFleur and his staff a lot of credit. You know, the Eagles were just the better team. You know, the Rams, which I to be honest with you, if there was a game that I thought was going to be a blowout this postseason, I would have said the Eagles-Rams. You know, the Rams have to come out here and play in the elements, something they're not used to. You know, that
it does make a difference too.
For that was that, yeah. You know, the weather makes it a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
You know, that was a that really was a shocker to me that they hung in that game and they were two or three plays away from potentially going to the NFC Championship. You know, you go to the NFC Championship game, I think the score, and I said this on the radio show, you know, I think the score was a little deceiving. You know, I'm not saying that the Eagles didn't dominate them at the end, but for 2.5 quarters, that was a game.
That's an NFC Championship game, right?
Yes.
Now, my only thing with you with the NFC Championship game was Washington did not feel confident in the other side of the ball.
No, they didn't at all.
If you go for it, I mean, Dom, you go for it twice on your opening drive and only get three, that's not a good look.
I'm somebody that's a big believer in going in, you know, being aggressive on fourth downs, especially if you're in the high, if you're in the low red zone. So I was kind of shocked to see them settle early. But you know, look, on paper, that's a game that, you know, on paper, the score matches what it says.
Yeah.
You know, the Eagles are clearly a more talented team. And that's nothing against Washington, but you know, Washington has a good amount of guys that are either and on 1-year deals, or you know, they're aging veterans like a Bobby Wagner, who I got a lot of respect for, but let's call it what it is. He's in his mid-30s, he's still productive, but he's not what he was in Seattle almost 10 years ago.
Seattle days are gone.
You know, you go to the AFC playoffs, it was kind of like oil and water at times in some of those games. You know, I think there were a lot of matchups that were highly anticipated, you know, particularly Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
And that was just a straight domination on Baltimore's part.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, you look at Houston and Kansas City, you know, Houston was a team that I think a lot of people, myself included.
I was with you on that one.
Yeah, I had Houston coming out of the AFC at the beginning of the year. You know, they had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, however, in that game. So, you know, then you get to the AFC Championship. You know, that was a good old-fashioned tug of war.
Yep.
So there was just so much parity in the league, and I think it's good for the league going forward because, you know, the NFL is, from a product standpoint, in my opinion, is at a point where, you know, if we're talking about an alternate universe, does a Chiefs three-peat kind of sour the taste of viewers?
I think okay. So
and look, I don't like to think, Gavin. You know me. I don't like to think of it like that at all. But you know, in context of what we're talking about, you know, look, if the Chiefs three-peat, you know, look, I have people texting me. They weren't Eagles fans. They weren't Chiefs fans. Nope. But they were like, I really just don't want to see Kansas City win.
See, I really okay.
I'll
phrase it like this, and then we'll kind of leave because football's over. So I want to kind of get into like the you know and as the
well, I was going to say like to kind of segue it. You know, if the Chiefs three-peat, it's kind of like what Golden State was in the NBA a couple years ago. You know,
almost remember people hated that shit too.
Yeah, because you were seeing the same. The only difference is we're seeing the Chiefs play somebody different. You know. In each of these games. In the NBA, it was Cleveland, it was Golden State. Cleveland, cool. Golden State.
There's no in between.
And look, you know, from a viewership standpoint, because the Bay Area is such a strong market, it was incredible. But, you know, I know a lot of people where they were like, yo, I'm tired of seeing it.
Tired of seeing it. It's the word that ended on. I'll be honest with you. I'm happy the boys win. I'm gonna keep fandom biases out of it. Now, guys, because I know the season's been over for what three weeks now. I don't want to harp on it, but coming up in our next episode, this gentleman over here is gonna break down the NFL Combine. We're just waiting for it. I know today was day one. I think the big boys, Dom, were working out today. The big boys were working out.
Yeah, man. I had some fun watching the D-line. The linebackers are I think, taking the field right now as we speak. They just probably finished up edge rushers. But, you know, for the hometown, I'll tell you what, though. I'm sure we'll put some salt and pepper on this tomorrow. For the hometown team, it might not be a bad thing to stay at 32.
Well, that's for a radio show. I ain't gonna lie. That's for the radio.
Because I saw some guys today. where you know, hey, if you stay at 32, you're in pretty good hands with that
pick. Listen, the boys got a lot to do at 32. We'll talk about all that on 12-2 tomorrow, and we'll bring it to the pod next week. Cause I got some strong talk. We're gonna do more Eagles deep dive next week, along with some baseball. Baseball just got started. There's not really much.
Yeah, it's only been a week of spring. Hey,
Rojas hit a home run today, though.
Listen, he just find a barrel once in a while.
That's all you gotta do.
Just find a barrel once in a while.
That's all you gotta do. So just know next week we're gonna talk Phillies and MLB, and we're gonna do a little deeper in dive on the NFL draft combine and everything. That gentleman over there is gonna help me break it all down. We're gonna have some friends down. Come by. Yeah, all down. Thank you. Down. But Dom, there's something that needs to be talked about.
There is.
Do you want to go straight into that? Hold on. Before I can get into the NBA this year, guys, it's been lackluster. There's been some moments, but I think it starts with the in-season tournament. Get rid of that, please. That's the stupidest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was so unnecessary.
That was dumb. I like the idea first to enhance competitive nature.
Yeah.
You make right. That's not how you – let me tell you, you want to make the games competitive? Shorten the fucking season. The problem is not competitive. Is your season is so long, grueling, that after a while, your knees hurt.
Yep.
Well, we know that very well. Well, we're about to get into, but I just say I wouldn't say the season's boring. I just say it's lackluster. It's just like there's little things that take it away. But there's one thing I want to focus on first. Granted, the trade deadline just happened. Dom, All-Star Weekend was I got some strong feelings on it. I'm going to save that for later in this conversation, because what I want to bring up first is the hometown team. What the hell is going on with the Sixers, bro? And when I mean that, right, I mean that is, for those who don't know, the Sixers are worse this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
And that's after signing a Paul George. And that's also after bringing in a Eric Gordon and a damn Caleb Martin. And now he's not even here for Quentin Grimes.
I like Quentin Grimes.
I mean, he's cool, but that's not going to fix the problem.
No, it's not.
The problem is number 21. Number 21 and number, what's his number here? What's Paul George's number? Is it 8-ball Paul? It is.
He's
number
8.
Go back to 13, please. I don't think he can here, but please. No, but Dom, for those who aren't following the situation, this is from what I'm understanding, and this is what's been reported, right? Joel Embiid has had a lingering knee issue all year long. The man has missed most of the season. Dom, I went to go see this team in action one time, and the one game I went to, I went with the gentleman, hopefully he'll be joining us in the next episode. Joel Embiid got hurt that game. And the problem I have is not so much getting hurt, but if this has been a lingering problem, why the hell did you go to the Olympics and play? Seriously, that is not your job. Listen, this is the greatest country on earth. I understand that. But what we're not going to do here is you cannot – I mean, Dom, you – okay, for example, I'm going to bring you Boston, right? You work for the Maxwell Club, right? You work for Compass. That's like you going out and saying to both of your bosses – my mind is not in it, right? My mind is not in it. But then you come down and then you hop on the Kickback Podcast and here you are. Yep. We're happy to have you. But that's not how it works.
You're absolutely right.
How that shit works. So let me ask you this, right? And I'll swear you to after this. Paul George comes out yesterday and says, I'm taking a break from podcasting. So you're telling me, and I'm a podcast piece supporter. Is it my favorite basketball podcast? No. Do I watch it from time to time? Here and there. Yeah, I watch the clips. I'll be honest. I'm not like a full-time fan. I'm just a supporter. But cut the mic off, man. Because you have been a lackluster. I mean, Dom, he has been not. I understand the man is 34. So here's another problem I have. And this goes for to you, too. And it's not. I'm not even mad. This is something that me and you talked about a couple years ago. When this gentleman came here, I thought shit was going to be different. And so far, things have different. I mean, one Eastern Conference, you was one time first in the East, and you're still lost to the Hawks in the same place. You still lose to the same, not same team, different team, same place. So let me ask you this, dude. Is it a Joel Embiid Paul George issue, they better not fire Nick Nurse after this year. I like Nick Nurse. I think he has done a fantastic job for the pile of garbage that he has to deal with. Or is this a front office issue? And by the way, the fact that you tried to build a stadium downtown and your team looks like...
Thank God they didn't go through with that.
They'd
be getting flamed like no other right now. Like, it would be...
Well, dude, the priority's in the wrong place. The front office sucks. The team sucks. I mean, but we're going to build a stadium. Josh Harris, how about you sell the damn team? Before I lose on first episode, because I don't want to do that, because that's for me to do tomorrow. All right, I got to save some of this for tomorrow. I will say this, though, now. I will say this. How do you even fix this? Where do you even fix this? Everybody says, but you can't move neither one of those guys. You can't move neither one of them without killing yourself capitally. You got fired, Daryl Morey. He has to go. I know I can't even say you're a Daryl Morey guy no more, but go ahead, man.
No, I'm still a Daryl Morey guy. You know, I got a lot of respect for, you know, the body of work he had prior to coming to Philadelphia. Your question was, you know, who's to blame? Well, if Joel Embiid and Paul George are A, Josh Harris is B, Nick Nurse is C, I'm going to go with D, A, and B. And I'll throw, you know, Daryl Morey in there with Harris and those guys, you know, upstairs. This organization continues to constant forks in the road, and they end up making the wrong turn. So Daryl Morey has to go after this year based off of his body of work. He had two good months in Philadelphia, and that was November and December of 2020 when he first got here during the pandemic, and the draft was in December. He flipped the Al Horford contract and he drafted Tyrese Maxey. He's only had two good months here. I'm a Daryl Morey fan, but he's only had two good months here.
I'll give him the first year. That first year was pretty good.
I mean, was it though? Because here's my thing. They had a lot of regular season success. In a shortened regular season, I get that. However, look, that Atlanta team, I think, was a lot better than people gave them credit for. But, you know, when you have, and this is where I go to be Joel Embiid and Paul George. Listen, Joel Embiid is a very good basketball player when he's healthy. There's no disputing that. However, I think we have to talk. I think, you know, and this is somewhat of a hot take, but I think what, you know, ESPN, the narrative ESPN created about Jay Cutler 10 to 15 years ago now, we have to start to think about that with Joel Embiid. You know, this is somebody that is for himself. I mean, look, everybody's for themselves at the end of the day, but this is somebody that prioritized his own individual accomplishments over his team and the basketball gods, not that I like to talk like this, but the basketball gods recognized that. And the epitome of that, Gavin, was the 2023 season where Joel Embiid, you know, he was coming off of the year. Everybody felt like he got snubbed, you know, from winning the MVP, and they gave it to Nikola Jokic. Joel Embiid finally wins the MVP in 2023. Who wins the NBA Finals? And who wins the NBA Finals MVP? Nikola Jokic.
Wait, hold on. Because you brought up, I actually have his accomplices right here, because he always says, all I've done for the city, all I've done for the city.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. What has he done?
My point. If this is what you're talking about, what you have done for the city, and I used to be a Joel Embiid fan up until this year. You, like you just mentioned, you won the MVP in 2023. You're you've been selected the seven consecutive All-Star, All-Star games for 2018, 2020, 2024. I mean, that's starting to become a participation award now at this point for half the people that be in there. Because I don't understand how, and I'm not a big Tobias Harris fan, but there was a year where Tobias Harris should have been an All-Star and he wasn't. And there was also a year this year where Tyrese Maxey should have been there. I can't even say Tyler Hero shouldn't have been there, but you get what I'm trying to say. It's one of those half and half. But so then not only that, he got NBA All First Team selected in 2023, All NBA second team. He was selected there four times. All NBA defensive team selected there three times from 18 to 21. All first team rookie team 2017, which he wasn't really even a rookie at that point, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, when you have 2 years to prepare.
And then you're in, congratulations, you're a back-to-back scoring champion. Dom, I've done more for the city.
I mean, listen, you know, like, you know, look, I have a lot of respect for the player that Joel Embiid is. On an individual level.
But to say I've done more for this. Jalen Hurts, not to bring football, but Jalen Hurts in his, five, six years he's been here, rough amount of time, right? Two conference championship games, both won.
Oh, no, two. Yeah, you're right, two.
Both won in, right?
Two and three is what I meant.
One and one in the Super Bowl. Every time he gets in the playoffs, ever since they got a little bit better since the first year, except for last year, which I don't know what that was, the man dominates in the playoffs. You guys lose in the same place every year. So, Dom, I understand from a personal accolade that school, he should be a Hall of Fame. I don't think Joel Embiid's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
He shouldn't get into the Hall of Fame.
He shouldn't. He barely plays. And Dom, I want to give you, you know, before we get to down to the final word, I just want to say this. You're right. Personal accolades, the man has some stuff to him.
Yeah, I can't take that away from him.
You can't. No one can take that away from him. But here's what's one thing you always be remember though. Rings.
Oh, absolutely.
Rings.
Absolutely. And in this town. You know, this Eagles Super Bowl
really matters.
This Eagles Super Bowl, you know, to kind of circle back to that, not to circle back to them, but to circle back to them, because we talked about this briefly during your parade show. You know, this Eagles Super Bowl changes the complexion of a lot of athletes and coaches' legacies in Philadelphia. And when I'm not even talking about this, you know, Joel Embiid and these guys. I'm also talking about Randall Cunningham and Buddy Ryan. I'm talking about Allen Iverson, you know, and his crew.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about
even the Phillies now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to say too, because now that you just made me think of something. The Phillies go to the World Series and then they go to the NLCS, right?
Yes.
Back years, right?
They're kind of starting to trend like it was all those years ago, except they didn't win the World Series and then went a step down. They got to the World Series.
Got there.
Lost and then they got to the World Series and lost. Then the following year, NLCS lost. Last year, division series loss. And now we enter this year.
I want to get your thoughts quickly on this. To your point, right? The Eagles Super Bowl, whenever another team wins, and this is how the sports town works, kind of puts pressure on the other three teams around you to do some shit. We don't consider the Union Philadelphia. They play at Chester. For those who don't know, they don't.
Yeah, that franchise has struggled to stay.
That's struggled too. That's something different. We give the Flyers a pass because of rebuilding.
And the Flyers have such a rabid and loyal core of fans where you're never gonna notice. Like
exactly. Exactly. No, you're right. And then, so to my point, right? Look at the Phillies. The last 3 years, granted, and we'll get in a deeper baseball talk next week. Granted, the Phillies went to the playoffs last couple years, World Series, just that third. Eagles win. Eagles lose Super Bowl 2 years ago. They come back down. They go. Y'all haven't done anything in the Sixers, and you can't get past the same round. You go up 3-1 on what, Boston, right? Once
they were up 3-2. They were 3-2
on Boston. You had a chance to close it out in game six. You lose, and then you go up there, and then you.
They were up 3-2 in each one of those series that they lost. They were up 3-2 against Toronto. Oh, no, yep. I'm sorry. They weren't up 3-2. They were up 3-2 against Atlanta. They were up 3-2 against
Atlanta. You go down to Atlanta, you lose there, the lights go out. I don't know. You come home and then you get booed off your own floor. What? What? Dom, I'll give you final words before we get out of here, man.
To sum it up, this organization is clearly in distress. It starts with the owner who cares more about his portfolio and his hometown football team, because he is a DC guy, so the Commanders do have a lot of value to him. It starts with, you know, him. You know, I think the beginning of a solution is he sells the team. You get rid of Daryl Morey. He has to go based off his body of work. And, you know, you might have to ride out Joel Embiid and Paul George for one more year just because of money. And then you, unfortunately, have to start another rebuild. You have to.
I think it's easier to move Paul George than it's to move Joel Embiid. Just
it absolutely is.
The years of contracts and all that, like Joel Embiid. And then you gave him money this summer.
Yeah.
I didn't forget that either. But we're not going to talk about all that, right? It's 30 minutes. This podcast is 30 minutes. I got a radio show to do tomorrow. So everybody, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for tuning in and watching. We hope you enjoyed episode one. Sorry I got heat at the end, but this is a little taste, Dom, right? A little taste of what's expected.
Absolutely.
If you're listening to us on Apple, because this is where we will be, Apple, rate us a 5-star. I would much appreciate it. Make sure you share, tell everybody, tell your friends. That the Kickback has a podcast now. And with that being said, Dom, because I know we're getting a little long on this time here, for those who want to hear more of this conversation in a lighter sense of mood, come check us out tomorrow with the radio show, The Kickback, from 12 to 2 on 91.7 WCUR FM. And you're going to hear my lovely voice. You're going to hear that gentleman's voice over there. And you will hear my radio co-host, Pat, who will be on this program at some point. Dom, episode one in the books. We thank everyone for watching. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed. Please rate us a 5-star Apple Pod. Make sure you follow us, share all the good stuff. Everybody's awesome. Spread some kindness to the world. Dom, any final words you'd like to say, man?
One episode, Dom.
Dom. Everybody, be safe, man.